I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Coming up on TMS, top of the ramen to ye.
I didn't do the doctor, but I might have done her deputy.
I've seen Loki all the way.
You're wrong, Elizabeth, so wrong.
Then you can't eat fried rice!
Whatever happened to TMS listener? You know the guy's got talent.
Viva Las Vegas Lizzie.
Knobs and balls break every day.
Feels a little verdant.
The sesame chicken litmus test.
A handful of prints.
Dingleberry douchebag.
Ask your doctor if TMS is right for you.
Please, bend my leg.
Rolling Hills Flat Zone with Steven.
Regina on my mind with Dan. And more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Have you tried the lasagna? It's my favorite. Did you catch a game last night? Is it still hot out there? Do you like hot fudge sundaes? All right.
Shut up, dirt face.
The Morning Stream. There's one thing worse than dying here, and that's living here.
Good morning and welcome to TMS for Monday, January 23rd, 2023. We got a 23-23 in the house.
Yeah, woo! I saw that. I typed something today and I'm like, oh, cool. I got to make sure Scott knows about this.
Yeah, I like it. I like when these days happen. Anyway, welcome back to the show, everybody. It's Monday. It's me, Scott Johnson. It's him, Brian Ibbett. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Scott. happy Monday to you.
Thanks, man. Happy Lunar New Year deal. I guess.
Yeah.
We had we did a whole thing here. We had the kids over, mm-hmm. and we had Kim made a giant ramen thing, which I think is Japanese in origin, so it's a little weird because Chinese Lunar New Year. Right. But anyway, whatever. It's probably offends somebody because they have a long history of war and invasion, those two countries, so who knows.
Did you make a tonkatsu or a shoyu ramen?
Kim made, so if it's tonkatsu, it's a little more milky, right? It's like a...
It depends on what she uses as a broth base. So pork is tonkatsu, shoyu is soy.
Ah, gotcha. I would say it's more tonkatsu than soy, but it was also her own recipe, so it was less than you're used to seeing kind of the milky thing. Yeah. It was very good, though. She made up her own recipe, and it was fantastic. And so what you do is you got the noodles, of course, and then she had all these assortments of, you know, crap you put on there.
Was it a top-your-own ramen bar?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love it.
It was great.
Good Lord.
We even did we boiled a bunch of eggs, even though they were $4,000 per egg.
Right?
Egg prices, kidding. Man. Anyway, chop those off, you know, in half, put them in everybody's thing. Anyway, everybody got to make their own thing. It was great.
Perfect.
And Carter, I don't know if she's listening. She was at work right now, so maybe she won't hear this. But Carter wore what I thought looked like a geisha dress thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so she comes out and says, she goes, "Dad, that's probably racist in Japan." I said, "Why?" Or not Japan, in China. I go, "Why?" She goes, "So this is traditional Chinese wear, and I don't think they would have a geisha dress over there." I said, "Yeah, but we're eating ramen."
Ramen, yeah.
Exactly. And Kim wanted to make homemade fortune cookies, which their origin is the States. We made that up over here.
Exactly. That's completely Americanized.
Yeah. So I think we're past that. We're not, you know, the adherence to exact Chinese details have probably been lost already. But anyway, it was lovely. Everybody was over. Awesome. It was fun. They all played video games after, and I ate too much.
Yeah.
You know, just farting like a monster this morning.
We went to a Chinese restaurant on Friday night with the crazy neighbors. surprised I was able to function for an episode of Film Sack Saturday morning, to be honest, because, again, Chinese restaurant, but sake. We just kept ordering more bottles. Me and Crazy Dave kept ordering more bottles of hot sake, which is very Japanese.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of just like, all right, sesame chicken is my, that's my, oh, you're going to a new Chinese restaurant? I go, I order the sesame chicken. That is my variable. No, my control.
Your control, right? Got variable. It. That will determine so, whether you go back to that place or not, right?
Correct, if it was good. Exactly. Yeah. If they baseline, thank you. If they do a good sesame chicken, then great. I'll go back there and I'll try the other things and that sort of thing. I don't want to go crazy and go, well, let me try your Hunan Szechuan chicken, blah, 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 whatever, right? Like, right. I start with a sesame chicken because you'll find out, A, if they use, you know, good chicken, if they overbred their chicken, like over, you know, it's basically you get a thing that's all breading with a little tiny raisin of chicken in the middle.
Sure.
And it also gives you a chance to try out the rice. And I always do the fried rice as opposed to the steamed.
Mm-hmm.
Their fried rice at the Tea Garden here in Arvada is steamed rice that kind of maybe was soaked in soy sauce. There is, you know what you get in fried rice here at the Tea Garden? Rice.
Okay.
No carrot cubes, no peas, no little bits of pork or chicken or anything like that. It's
I literally have the menu right here. It says,
then you can eat rice.
That's crazy. That's
exactly right. Yes.
Crazy. Yeah.
I should have looked at the menu, Scott. I should have done what you did. Anyway. No veg, no nothing in the fried rice. It was just basically brown. It was just pre-soyed rice.
That basically seems very odd to me.
Yes, an egg, right. Of course, the egg is kind of the
There's
the
almost
key.
Always egg in there, yeah. Yeah, that's weird. And a little bit of ham or whatever. I don't know if it's
nothing,
always ham.
Nothing.
That's weird. Yeah I would have.
So, it's a bummer because I would give, you know, I would say the sesame chicken was 4 out of 5 stars. It was really, really good. It was not oversauced. The noodles that they serve it on, like the crispy noodles, were still crispy. They hadn't been soaked in the sauce. Anyway,
that's always a good litmus test there. And how
exactly?
Yeah, how's your
noodle?
So
you have your Lunar New Year celebration. We had ours.
Yeah, that's great. You sounded. I mean, you usually do. So whenever you tell me you had like, oh yeah, a wild night last night, and then you'll do a film sack. You always sound fine to us. It never sounds.
Yeah,
weird.
I know. I have an ability, I think, most of the time anyway, to push a hangover or a grogginess or something like that aside. Usually, I think there's been a film or a TMS or so where like I came off of a muscle relaxant from my back where I'm like, yeah, oh, news? Okay, that's good news. News is brought to you by the birds circling over my head going...
Did the new, you didn't get any more of that, or are they still giving you that? You still taking that stuff if you have?
I am, yeah, because I still have back problems. I did the doctor on, well, I didn't do her. I went to the doctor on Thursday.
Yeah.
And she is going to hook me up with some physical therapy because the stretching I'm doing, and I'm doing stretching 3 times a day.
Yeah.
Has helped me up to a point, but has not really gotten any further than that. So,
We've hit a plateau, people.
A call. Yep. What's that?
I said we've hit a plateau. We're there.
We've hit a plateau.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the physical therapist, look, I'm kind of looking forward to hating my physical therapist, but loving him or her at the same time. Like, because they're going to bend my leg for me the way I cannot bend it myself without shouting expletives.
Mm.
So... it's going to feel good when it's all done and when I'm able to get on the bike and start doing some training, but I'm going to hate them up until that moment.
Well,
I'm going to curse them. I'm going to yell at them.
You should curse. Speaking of cursing and almost wrecking my back, I forgot to mention this. Coming downstairs today, I got a hot tea in this thing, and I have a couple of cans of soda. I'm going to put my little Xbox fridge over here. And what else do I had? I had a handful of prints that I got to sign today. And I walk downstairs and I'm like, it's dark in here.
A handful of prints.
I don't have the light on because my hands are full and I'm like, I'm fine. I walk this every day, 50 times a day. I know where to go. So I'm just not worrying about the lights. I'd forgotten that Van was here all night last night, and his shit is everywhere. So he's got we got like a slide and a some kind of like a mini little chess table thing he likes to set up a little chessboard on, even though he doesn't know how to play chess. Like all this kind of stuff. So I come barreling in here this morning with all this stuff in my arms, trip on that slide, everything goes 400 directions. I was sure one of these cans was going to explode because they were going to hit something sharp or whatever.
Fortunately not. And the tea looked like it was a nice sealed Contigo container.
Yeah, this
container,
is a sealed, so that was okay. But the prints, I think I wrecked three or four of them. It's fine. We did overage on it. But anyway, the stuff just goes everywhere. And I laid there on the floor going, damn it, is all I could say. And I yelled it as loud as I could. And then the dogs went, roar. Upstairs.
That is what I did a few Halloweens ago when I landed on my coccyx, right? It was sliding down the stairs and just like landing on the bottom floor, bottom step and going, F!
It wasn't too bad because it only took, a year for the pain to go away?
God.
That's the worst. Kim just getting over that too. She did the same thing, fell on the ice, and her butt bone has been hurting her since, and it's been since November, and it still hurts. So coccyx, F that bone. That thing sucks.
You know, something better than me yelling, Scott, is when I get yelled at. And this weekend, I got yelled at by a Lyft passenger.
Oh, hold on.
Be courteous and obey traffic regulations.
I can't wait to hear this. All right, go.
Yeah, so I'm out driving. This is Friday. No, this is Saturday morning. Is it Saturday? I think Saturday. Let's just say it's Saturday because I can't remember for sure. But I'm out driving and I drop off a passenger and I immediately get a little thing on my app that says you have a new ride. And I click accept. And within 2 seconds, the phone rings and I can always tell it's a Lyft thing because it comes from San Francisco. Like when you, if you call, or if you schedule a ride with Uber or Lyft and you need to contact the driver and you hit that little phone button in the app, it doesn't call them directly. It routes the call through
the
servers so that you don't get their phone number, they don't get your phone number, all that stuff.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
So so I like answer the phone. I go, hi, this is Brian, because that's what I do. And she goes, why the F did you just cancel my ride?
It was a lady?
And I said, yeah, it was a lady. Okay. I said, oh, I just accepted your ride. No, you drove around the parking lot, you looked right at us, then you canceled the ride and you drove off. Why the hell did you do that? No. I just accepted the ride. Like every time, like she would interrupt every time I said something. She's like, no, you didn't. You canceled the ride and now we're stuck here. Now we have to wait for another ride. I'm like, no, I'm the other ride. I'm the guy who got the ride.
Yeah, you're the
when
second
the other person
ride.
Canceled.
Yeah. Why was she? Was she ever off that cliff or was she always going to fight that?
Finally, I got a word in edgewise and I said, look at your app right now. Do you see a license plate that says cover me? She's like, yes. I said, what did it say cover me before? She's like, no, it's a different license plate. Okay. I'm so sorry. I'm so, so sorry. Oh my God. I'm so sorry. And like, she basically apologized almost the entire time that she called me while I was on the highway heading to pick her up till I got her. But basically what had happened is, you know, they'd been standing outside in the cold. It was 20 something degrees.
Yeah.
They're in this parking lot with their luggage out, getting ready to fly to the airport. And they're, you know, they're on a time crunch. It's a flight to the airport. And so they see the car driving and it's coming. And then they see the car actually in. And so they start jumping up and down and waving their hands because the car is kind of going right by them. The driver looks right at them as they're jumping up and down, waving their hands. And keep in mind, as a driver, you get a little icon of the person wherever they're standing based on their phone. And for me, she showed up right exactly where she was. So I drove right to her, looked right at her, then turned, drove off and canceled the ride. And this is after like a 20-minute wait to get to the to get that ride.
So because a new one had already come up, she thought she was still numbering or contacting the person that it would have
Right, exactly.
Been.
She hit the call button immediately.
Yeah.
When the ride got canceled, and because it had already switched over to me.
Yeah.
She called me and was like cursing me out.
Did you get a good tip out of this? A beefy tip?
I get a beefy tip.
Yeah.
She also, she works for, so she travels. She's from Rockford, Illinois. And we talked a lot about the Rockford Register Star, which I've been to for the newspaper in Rockford, Illinois.
Nice.
And I mean, we were chatting for the entire 40-minute ride. We were chatting and laughing and you know, getting along. She's got the company that she works for in Boulder does trade shows, but they are looking into like doing podcast lead ups to trade shows. And so she and I are going to be talking about doing like maybe producing some podcasts for like, here's the lead up to the CES or lead up to this and that sort of thing.
Wow.
So
that's funny.
So, Elizabeth, here's the other funny part. The previous driver was somebody named Elizabeth, the one they canceled. And you'd think that right away when I answered, she'd be like, well, you don't sound like an Elizabeth.
Oh, but yeah, right. So that's who it was? It was somebody named Elizabeth that
somebody
took
named
off?
Elizabeth, yeah. So Lyft driver Elizabeth, if you're listening, screw you for canceling the passenger, but thank you because it might lead to some work for me.
Yeah. Yeah, nicely done. Good little side action there. That's really funny. That's great. But so also, really look, sometimes these confrontations we have in our modern life, sometimes they meld into something decent, you know?
And all you got to do is just, you know, you just got to let the other person get their venting out, then calmly explain why they're wrong.
Yeah.
then you calmly explain why they're wrong. And you just tell them, you're wrong. You're so wrong. I'm right. I'm always right. Well, a lot of people tell me that
Elizabeth Ibbett, I think you did a great job. Well done. Nice job.
Thank you very much.
No problem. Hey, one other quick thing. We had somebody asking, you know, we were talking about where are these people that used to listen to TMS all the time? You know, we were talking about that last week. We were like, hey, yeah, we haven't seen so-and-so in the chat room in a long time. And where's TVZ gone? And
TVZ gone was one that came up. And yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we got something from Alan. He wrote into the text number and says, fans that have faded away is a subject. Says, whatever happened to Keith from Maine? Maybe old TMS regulars have a WhatsApp group where they could chat about all their old contacts to the show or connect, about their old connects to the show, but haven't told you about, says Alan. Yeah, I don't know. Keith from Maine was a huge regular, always submitting stuff. He was around forever and then poof, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know.
I've thought about this a lot, Scott. I haven't practiced speaking it, but I've thought about this a lot.
Sure.
And I've decided what we're going to do every morning, either during the show or pre-show, we're going to take roll.
Okay.
And that way we can see who's absent. And if you've got four or five absents in a row, then we need to call you at home and follow up and make sure you're okay.
We'll do a wellness check at your house. So someone in Maine will have to do this for us. So. But also, we're not going to Bueller this, all right? We're going to say it once.
It's got to be quick. Yeah, you better be quick.
You got to be quick.
We have 15,000 people to get through, so really, like, be quick.
Yeah, if you're like George Santos on C-SPAN, where he sat there looking at his phone and didn't hear his name for the first three times she said it, we're not counting you, okay?
That's right. Cartwright!
Cartwright. All right, there's that. Also, good news, Steam Decks are back in production for the TMS.
That's
Steam Decks.
That's right. Oh, I should have one here in front of me to show everybody. But no, we had a, an initial rush of those from patrons. We had a big patron push for TMS. So I had to kind of pull them off of the store a little bit or basically just increase their date. That said, we're back to full production on those. By the way, I am... Based on listener Dwayne and his lovely wife Christine, she's like huge in online selling. She's a tax accountant and does all that sort of thing. But she also does a lot of stuff with selling online, and she kind of talked to me a little bit about Etsy and what a crapshoot. We're not in crapshoot. What a shit show they are. Mm. I knew it was something fecal. Is directing me over towards Shopify.
Shopify, yeah.
Yes. Buy your Steam Deck stands from your music streaming service, please.
Sure.
Anyway. So keep an eye out. I will be putting stuff, moving my store over to Shopify. But for right now, they're at Etsy, Coverville 3D, all one word, .etsy.com, and you'll see all my stuff there.
Shopify, do they have a store where you don't have to pay some monthly craziness? Because they used to, I think they charge you, don't they?
They only charge, as far as I can tell, only charge you for what you sell. Everybody that after I switched or after I started looking at Shopify, everybody's like, oh yeah, Shopify is the way to go over Etsy. So
let's see here. I thought it was it does say, well, it says monthly, but maybe this is for something else. So they got 26 a month for their basic, 71 a month for Shopify standard or whatever. And then advanced 266, which I don't know what that is. I guess you get unlimited products or something. Anyway, I don't know how they work. I looked at them years ago, and it's very different now. I don't even recognize this website. So Shopify,
yeah, it's so much better. I did freelance for a woman last year for Shopify, so I kind of had to learn how to customize a Shopify site really quickly.
Yeah.
By the way, she's a rowdy little dame on Shopify, and she sells greeting cards for people to give to people who are crappy about sending greeting cards. If you're one of those people who's like, oh crap, it's the night before Mother's Day and I didn't buy a Mother's Day card or a birthday card for somebody, you actually get a box with 12 cards of all of the events over a course of a year.
That's great.
That all you have to do is just sign and hand to the person.
I love that. That's actually pretty good. That's useful.
Rowdy Little Dame is her name. She's awesome.
Yeah.
She's
I go one level cheaper and make my own cards. That's how I get away with it.
Oh, yeah, of course. You've got the talent to do that sort of thing.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I forgot to get them a thing. What should I do? Oh, I know. I'll draw a card. How about that?
Right.
Oh, speaking of which, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me put this up real quick. This is just a tease here, everybody. I'm going to show you something. Brian's already seen it. But anyway, we've got
the
die-cut labels already all set. These are probably going on our... I don't want to give anything away yet, but we got some cool stuff coming up for these swag bags. Yes.
Swag for TMS Vegas.
Yep. If you see me and Brian sitting on the leg of, what's her name? Lizzie.
Vegas Vicky.
Vicky. I always want to say Lizzie. Las Vegas Lizzie for some
Las
reason.
Las Vegas Lizzie.
But anyway, that's me and Brian sitting up there. I don't know why Brian's pointing in the sky, but you see something, you know, something up there.
Yeah, I'm hoping a bird will land on my finger.
Maybe. But these turned out pretty good, I think, and I'm very excited about the rest of what's coming in those bags for both those who can come and those who can't. And if you're like, wait, what? I can get these now? Yep, they're in the events tab on the Frog Pants store, or better yet, go to vivatmsvegas.com and just click on the links Brian put on there. It'll take you straight to these listings. If you're coming to Vegas or want a swag bag outside of Vegas, you got to get in there and get that done, because we're trying to get head counts by the end of this week. So... forgive all my bugging you about it, but that's going to happen a bunch this week, and that's just how it'll be.
That's just the way it is. Yeah. I'm seriously considering printing a Vegas Vicky with a little you and a little me sitting on her leg, just like this, as the prize for the video game tournament, as opposed to the arcade machine. Although God, the arcade machine is just such a cool...
Yeah, the arcade machine's pretty, cool pretty rad. If there was a way to print... You know what we could do?
What's that?
Well, let's combine forces on that, like we did last year.
Yeah.
But
and do a Vegas Vicky arcade machine.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. So we can still this art could still get tweaked and used for like side panel stuff and whatever.
I like it.
We should start working on that now. Is it the same as last year? The exact same template? Do you know, or is it different?
Yes. Okay. Exactly.
So you're gonna print that same thing. All right. And Monkey Bananas, your brother can't come this time. Just kidding. He can do whatever he wants.
No, he's come. He's already registered for the damn video game tournament.
Is he? Oh, shoot.
Yes.
All right. Everybody brush up. Seriously.
Here's the deal. All right. Winner of the tournament gets the arcade machine, little 3D print arcade machine. The person who takes Monkey Banana's brother out of competition gets a little 3D printed Vegas Vicky. There's the deal. There's how we do it.
Yeah. Because that guy's really good, legitimately good. And it's probably good that he won, because I didn't want to win that. I would have felt bad.
I know, yeah. And you wouldn't have, even if you would have won, you would have given it to
him. No, I wasn't going to keep it. Of course not. I would have found, it probably would have gone to him anyway, because he would have been second, and I'd have been like, let's give it to second place. But that guy is your enemy number one, everybody, and I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean, he's the guy to beat. He's your competition.
He's exactly. There's a bounty. Whoever takes him out gets this. And Monkey Bananas. What was I going to say? Shoot, there was something I was going to say about that.
Bananas.
I know
monkeys.
Red Fraggle and Icor. I think somebody also offered to help out with the tournament so that I can I can play a little bit more.
Oh, good. That'd be great. Because maybe Brian's the ringer. You might be the ringer the whole time. We didn't know.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no. I'm not. No.
You might be.
Don't be silly.
You might be. He's got a damn Tempest in his office. Look at that. What does that tell you?
Yeah.
You know?
But they don't have a Tempest at...
No.
At player one.
You know why? Because those knobs break all the effing time.
Exactly. It's so true.
Knobs and balls, man. As much as I love like that era of arcade control, that shit broke every day. It's just always
and
down.
Trackballs, you'd get, you know, somebody would spill their Sprite down the trackball of like Missile Command and that would hose everything. I mean, it was...
Kind of sucked. Anyway, well, it's good to have you all here. We're going to play a game this morning. We're going to get... we do this on Mondays and Wednesdays. We play a little game. And we're going to pull in Brian Dunaway to play it. And I think he's around, you know, always around, always ready, always feeling
always
it.
Always watching.
Always watching. Hey, it's Brian Dunaway. What's going on?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. How's it going? It's Monday. Oh,
hey.
Yes.
Hey, man. Hey. Hey, it was nice seeing you over the weekend. Hey. We had a great time with Film Sack. We watched Daredevil. And then we found out. So we found out prior to the movie, hey, there's a version of this movie. It's director's cut, and it's way better. And everybody should see that. And we went, well, it's all HBO.
Way
had,
better?
So, well, that's what people say.
It's supposed to be better because it's R as opposed to the sanitized PG-13 thing that we watched
better,
on HBO.
Better is relative.
Better is a good term. You know, it can be like 1 point better.
Right.
Way better indicate would make me think that I'm going to watch a good movie.
I keep hearing people say way better. Those are the words they use. So I don't know if that's true or not.
So you're talking Justice League of way better, right?
Talking
about
what
Snyder we saw cut, in the theater. Snyder too. Cut Justice League.
Snyder Cut was moderately. It's moderately better. I wouldn't call it way better, but it's moderately better than the first
Everything,
one.
I mean, you know, exactly. It's like a... All it has to be is 0.00001% better, and it's better.
Technically, it's better.
Well, that's better. That was my argument.
But that's better all. But here's what we're saying. Here's what I'm saying. None of that matters because it turns out the thing was on Hulu and we didn't know it, and then we're not going to go back and redo it. So
it turns out that I'm just not that interested in watching it again.
I know. That's the thing. Like, I do really want to watch it, but I really don't want to watch it.
Yeah. If it ever comes up again to be a thing, whether it's through us or we just are in the mood, then I will seek out the better one. Right?
Yeah.
Give me a year or wait until after you watch Elektra. And then I might revisit.
Yeah, yeah. Here's where I'd love to have a little notification from Hulu to say, hey, it's May 1st. At the end of this month, we're getting rid of Daredevil, the director's cut. Be like, okay, all right. Now that I've got the notification that it's going away, I'm totally going to watch it there.
Yeah, and if you do or you don't, it's all on you at that point. You don't have to count on anybody else to remind you or tell you or whatever. Anyway, it was still really fun, and you guys should check that episode out at filmsack.com. I would highly recommend it. This week we're doing Strange Days. We're seeing Strange Days this weekend.
Strange Days.
Getting our Catherine Bigelow on. It's been a while.
That's right.
Or maybe our first, actually. Her.
Anyway. I don't know if I'm going to sing the... who is it that did Strange Days? The song?
That would have been...
Three Strange Days. Na, 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 na.
Hold on.
Late 80s, early 90s. Yeah. The Farm? No. School of Fish.
School of Fish.
Yes.
That was
hit wonder, School of Fish.
Yeah, that was one hit, but it was a pretty good hit.
It was a good hit. Yeah.
It was all right.
I'm not going to do a sing-along for School of Fish at the beginning of...
That's a shame. That's a shame.
Listen, I'll be honest. Those are a blast to do.
You should keep making
them. Yeah, we love
them. Easy for me.
That might be your thing. So look, Brandy's got his list of three things. Dunaway's got his insane comedic brilliance.
Exactly.
And now you've got your singing song thing. You should do it.
Consciousness. Yeah.
Yeah. Lay into it.
I'll move away from the Bob Newhart style phone calls. Oh, hi. This is is this Moonfall? Oh, hi, Moonfall. What's that? You're full of bees? Okay.
It's pretty good. But I like the music stuff too. That was really good last time.
All right.
That was really amazing.
All right. We're going to get into it here. We're going to play a game. And the game is called Morning Half Asses. And Brian Ibbett over here is prepared to do whatever we have to do to make people win things. So, Brian, explain the rules.
I'm contractually obligated to tell you how this works. Welcome to the Morning Half Asses, a trivia game where I'm going to be giving Scott and Brian the answers. I'm going to give them a category and six possible answers. Three of those answers are correct, three of them are incorrect. depending on how confident they feel with the category, they can provide 1, 2, or 3 guesses. But if any of those guesses are wrong, they get 0 points for that round. Get one right, you get a point. Get two right, gets you 3 points. Ah, and get all three correct, you get 5 points total. I'm all choked up because this is just so
I know you.
It's emotional. It's emotional. Yes. I understand. It's fine.
I shouldn't drink coffee right before I explain the rules of half asses. You get 5 points if you get all three right. The player with the most points after 3 rounds wins the prize for their contestant. Contestants are pulled from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live, like Scott. You're going to be playing for Ronald James in Port Orchard, Washington.
Ooh, that sounds fancy up there. Port Orchard. Ooh.
Port Orchard.
Okay.
Like it's an orchard, but it's also a port.
Oh.
Brian, you're going to be playing for Dan Hansen Orchard. In Portchard. Brian, you're going to be playing for Dan Hansen in Kansas City.
Nice.
Yeah, Kansas City, baby.
Nothing wrong with KS. Yeah, they're cool.
I'm away.
The winner is going to get a copy of Tooth and Tail and Warsaw from Steam, but the runner-up is going to get 911 Operator, which I'm hoping is just a chore core game where you dispatch and direct 911
calls. It kind of is. It is.
Is it? Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And it's good. I played it because, I like my chore core. I play that kind of game.
Work harder.
That's right. Work harder. All right. Awesome. I like these rules. Let's play.
Let's get right to it. Question number one. Stars who have played themselves in a feature film. So, you've got your feature film, you got all your actors, but then you've got that other person who makes an appearance and it's like, wait, they're playing themselves. Which of these 6 actors played themselves in a feature film? Your choices are Joaquin Phoenix, Drew Barrymore, Neil Patrick Harris, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Russell Crowe, William Shatner.
Yeah.
Those are 6.
Oh, Christ.
That's our 6. These all give any more seem, than that.
All these all seem right.
I know the 3. I think I know them.
You know the 3?
Yeah, if I don't know the 3, I'll play this. But if I know the 3, I'll play this. All right. I think I know the 3.
I'm thinking I know these. I think I know these 3. I think, but I'm probably going to get exactly the opposite of what I think. It's probably going to be none of these.
All right, you both have locked in with 3. Joaquin Phoenix and William Shatner, both correct. What was the movie for Joaquin Phoenix, Scott?
Was that one where he had the beard and he was supposed to be crazy and it turned out to be a big gimmick and I can't remember the name of it.
Yes, it's called I'm Still Here.
I'm Still Here, was that it?
Okay.
it's the Joker, yeah.
William Shatner, do you remember that one?
Airplane 2, maybe?
No, he played a captain that directed the plane down. Fanboys, Shatner played himself. And of course, Neil Patrick Harris. Come on, Dunaway. Neil Patrick Harris played himself in Harold and
that's
Kumar.
That's what I wasn't sure about.
Harold and Kumar go to White Castle.
About.
So, Brian, you got to take that.
Yeah.
Scott, leading into question one with 5 points. Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's get to question number two. Woo-hoo. Number two. Let's go sports, shall we?
Oh, let's do sport. I like sports.
Banned baseball players from the Black Sox scandal. So when the Chicago White Sox had that scandal.
Oh, God.
There were
I never watched this movie either.
See, there's where Scott might have an advantage if he watched a documentary about it. I didn't think about that.
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I know one of these. And one's just too easy. It's like the ridiculously easy, and then the rest, maybe these guys all worse. I'm locking in with the one I know.
Scott's locked in.
Locking in with the one I know.
It's all right, Brian. If you build it, they will come.
Locking in with the one I know. All right, Brian is locked in with the one as well. You guys both locked in with the same one. Shoeless Joe Jackson is absolutely correct. Your other ones are... Oh, I never read the answers, did I? Your choices were Buck Weaver, Shoeless Joe Jackson, Swede Risberg, Red Faber, Kid Gleason, and Gavi Cravath. You got to
bet. Is that Swede or Swede?
Swede.
Red Swede.
Well, Swede would be with a U. unless you're talking about the band. Wasn't the band Blue Swede? No, it was Blue Swede. They were also Blue Swede. Ugechaka. You guys were absolutely correct. Buck Weaver, Shoeless Joe Jackson, Swede Risberg. You guys both went with Shoeless Joe, and that is absolutely correct.
So. How come Brian?
I had to at least get one. I couldn't leave with 0.
Oh, there we go.
That's what I did. Okay.
I was like, why isn't Brian have a point yet? No, it makes sense.
All right. Very
Scott's
good.
Killing
so
it.
Scott with six. I mean, there's really no way you can win, Brian. So shoot for the fences with this one.
That's right.
And I'm going to help you out. I'm going to give you guys a question about retro video games. What? This one, courtesy of Carl from Idaho. Mike and Matt Chapman's famous website, homestarrunner.com, featured Flash cartoons and also some funny playable knockoffs of many classic retro games.
Dadgum, it's been so long.
Well, Adobe Flash doesn't work anymore, but a new emulator called Ruffle, which you might be able to pick up there, Brian, is now able to run most of the Homestar Runner content. Three of the following are actual Homestar Runner video game homages, and the other three are imposters. Here are your choices. Peasant's Quest, which is a parody of King's Quest. Strong Bad Zone, which is a parody of Battle Zone. Cool Tapes, which is a parody of Dance Dance Revolution. Astrolite, which is a parody of Frogger. Dungeon Man, which is a parody of Zork. And Stinko Man 20X6, which is a parody of Mega Man. Three of those are real. Three of those are fakey fakes, which ones are real? Which ones are fake?
Which ones are real, Brian?
Which ones are fakey fakes?
I chose two, but I played all that stuff back in the day. But man, these names are
Me too.
Me.
It's been so long.
Yeah, been a long time. But I got my two.
Okay.
What do you have?
Fine. Whatever.
You got nothing to lose, so go for it, Brian. Like you know.
Yeah, I know. I chose six.
Okay.
Oh, geez. Well, you're bound to get three right.
So you're going to get three right and three. Well done. Peasant's Quest is a parody of King's Quest.
I remember that one.
Dungeon Man is a parody of Zork, and Stinko Man is a parody of Mega Man, making those the three correct ones. Peasant's Quest, Dungeon Man, Man. However,
look at Scott killing it today.
Strong Bad Zone is a Strong Bad game, but it's a parody of Pong. Like a Vectrex console game. Cool Tapes, completely made up, and Astrolite parody of Frogger. There is a game called Astrolite, but it's really just a flash implementation of Light Bright.
Oh, nice.
Of a Light Bright toy.
Wow. Cool Tape sounds like it would be one.
That's the only completely made up one. Yeah. Congratulations, Scott. You won by a landslide this time.
Yeah.
And
me. I got a spanking.
Yeah.
You did get a spanking. You won prizes for Ronald James in Port Orchard, Washington. He's getting Tooth and Tail in Warsaw. Dan, you're getting 911 operator. So please hold. And you'll get your prizes.
Please hold. You're an operator will be with you shortly. Due to high caller demand.
That's right.
How much caller demand could there be? They're everywhere says that, no matter how busy they are.
And you know, none of them ever change that recording. It's like, due to high call volume, we're currently experiencing a high call volume.
Yeah, it's horseshit. Like, I don't believe
I'm
any
sure
of it.
They don't have a recording that doesn't say that.
Like, no, I can't stand it, and it annoys me. All right.
Right now, our operators are just sitting there, so you'll be answered by the first available.
Yeah, it's annoying. Oh, that was a caller. I was trying to find a good clip, but anyway, that didn't work. Hey, Dunaway, tomorrow you and I are doing Play Retro, and boy, howdy, are we excited, right? Can't we wait?
I can because wait. it's Earthworm Jim. How can we wait? How can we sleep on Earthworm Jim?
Yep. There's a few things interesting about that. So first of all, Earthworm Jim 1 and 2 were great games, and I kind of thought was going to end up being a long running series of mascot based games well into the 3D era and up to today, but that didn't happen. We're going to talk about why maybe that didn't happen and what kind of a dingleberry douchebag Dave Perry turned out to be, even though at the time
not Dave Perry.
Sorry,
Doug Tindapol.
Ooh, well there goes.
I almost called him Steve Perry. Go ahead. What?
David Perry is cool guy. He gave us a cool spot. You're thinking of Doug Tindapol.
No, I'm thinking of... Who am I thinking of? There's somebody that's not his name who's a douche. The
creator is Doug Tindapol.
All right. Well, maybe we're calling him a douche and he's not either. I don't know. But that's the point. We're digging in deep, man. We're going nuts. We're finding it all out. We're going to figure out why that worm was so hot for that 16-bit minute that it was and why it's not around anymore. That'll be tomorrow. Play Retro wherever you get your podcasts. Or watch us live at 3:30 Mountain Time. Dunaway, you have anything else you'd like to add to that? All right. That might be my favorite time he's done that or signed off.
That was very good.
That was wonderful. All right. Well done, everybody. Oh, we forgot to do the thing where we do this.
Congratulations. Oh, yeah. You're a winner.
You've totally won, and that means you're awesome. All right. Let's do a little bit of the old news. Today's news brought to you by
Splitting Nana's Lip.
Oh. So,
what happened? What happened?
You've seen me squeezing this little.
Oh, yeah.
Little squeeze toy on the top. So, he's mostly like a Stretch Armstrong kind of material.
Goo. Yeah.
No big deal. Van loves him. So, whenever he's here, he wants to play with it. But on his top, he has a plastic little.
Oh, a little hard thing. Plastic deal. Okay.
I guess that's like the place where they injected him. And if you took that off, all the stuff would come out. Sure. Anyway,
cork.
Yeah. He's goofing around with it and kind of passing it back and forth, and Kim's tickling him, and he goes to hand it to her, and he swings it with that knob first and just split her upper lip wide open.
Oh, man.
Back up against her teeth. So she had a kind of rough night.
That sucks.
And today she left, and it's like all puffed out, so she's got this like weird little puffy lip. He felt terrible.
Does she need a casserole? I can arrange to have a casserole.
Can you do that? Because normally, she's brought one to herself. It just isn't the same, you know?
It isn't the same, yeah.
Anyway, he felt terrible. So it was a good lesson for a three-year-old to see when it's always good to see, I can hurt people and that's a bad feeling. It's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, well, you hope he feels like it's a bad feeling, like, I can hurt people.
Yeah, there are two kinds of people. And we're hoping he goes the one way and not the other.
Right.
All right. Let's get into this. Maryland. We got a story from Maryland. I feel like we never get up there, so this is good. A school employee inadvertently emailed sexually explicit photos to the entire student body.
I do love the fact that inadvertently is in quotes, which means it maybe wasn't inadvertently.
Yeah, it feels a little vertent, if you know what I'm saying.
A little vertent.
A little bit. Says a high school in Maryland has had to issue an apology. They did that on Friday after an employee accidentally sent these explicit photos to the entire student body. Principal Taryn Washington of Dr. Henry A. Wise Junior High School in Prince George County sent a letter to students' families Friday informing them, although this says junior high school in the paragraph before they called it a high school, so get your crap together.
Well, the headline does. Oh, yeah, high school in Maryland. You're right, yeah.
This seems weird.
No, maybe it's Henry Wise Junior High School. Oh. I think that's it. I think it's a high school, but it's the Dr. Henry A. Wise Jr.
Well, that's an unfortunate pairing, isn't it?
It is a very unfortunate pairing. Exactly.
Yeah, you put junior before high. What do you expect there, people? Anyway,
it's like, don't go naming your citizen center after Harry Carey Sr. Yeah, don't make it the Harry Carey Sr. Citizen Center.
No, don't. Although, do that.
Do that. Yeah, do that, please.
I want that. Hi. How long you been at bingo? Huh?
What's your major?
Best thing Will Ferrell ever did. All right.
The Sandy Davis Junior College.
It says here, school administrators immediately tried to retract the email, but the photos were seen by many of the people that they were shared with, and they've also shared them with others. Quote, I'm asking that all students as responsible online citizens not share photos by email, social media outlets, or other avenues. Good luck with that, dude.
Yeah.
Right. In the letter, Washington said appropriate steps have been taken regarding the employee, but further details on disciplinary actions, if any, were not released. Fox News Digital has reached out to Washington for more information on those steps to see if this person remains employed. Now, they didn't say whether they were photos of them or somebody else or just rando stuff.
Just their Brazzers photo.
Yeah, he's got like a folder called Brazzers 2.0 or whatever. Or freaking PornhubFavorites.com. Right, I don't know.
Exactly. Oh, save this one for later.
But you know he's not going to still work there. There's no way they keep him there.
No, definitely you know? Not.
Man, I got in the dumbest argument with somebody online yesterday about this fake story of kids using litter boxes at school because they identify as cats or some shit.
What?
Yes, oh, no. This is a whole thing. Yeah, it's a whole thing. A whole new culture war thing. And it's gotten as bad as like prominent people believe it and they're now talking about it. It's utter horseshit, first of all. It's just anti-trans bullshit, but that's where it stems from. But my whole point is
my pronoun is cat.
And the idea. Okay, Brian, let's pretend you and I are 14 again. You and I.
Okay, sure. we kind of act like it, but okay, let's say that we're actually physically 14 again.
Yes. Yes. In the state you're in, the kind of upheaval of emotions and I almost said thyroid. That's not what I mean. What are they called? What are your hormones? You're just a hormone mess. Yes. You're just a freak, right? And you want to hide most of the time, not go out and be in front of everybody all the time. There's not a kid on this planet anywhere that would go, Principal Wickers, I identify as a cat. I'll be needing a litter box in the girls' room. That's my right.
Take a nap in between three of my classes, please.
Utter horseshit.
By the way, Joe Rogan admitted that this is a fake story.
Yeah, I know. Finally. Oh, okay. Thanks, Joe Rogan. No, I know. That's the point, is it's a fake story, but people still believe fake shit all the time.
Gotcha. Okay.
He was one of the prominents that talked about it, but there are others. Who's that NFL guy that just did this the other day?
Tony Dungy.
That guy. And he's like bringing it up right up on his social stuff, deletes it later and goes, I regret what I did as a Christian. Regret what you did as a human being, you piece of garbage.
Exactly. Oh, so wait. If you were not a Christian, it would have been okay for you to share the fake story?
No, dude.
Okay,
one of my least favorite terms is as a father of two girls or as a Christian or as a... I don't care what you are. Don't be dorks and don't buy into bullshit stories that are so easily disproven.
Yes.
And also, give some credit to kids. They're not... No kid is bringing that attention on himself. None.
Right. Right.
Even if there's a kid somewhere who wants to be a cat really bad.
Yeah, or making the joke at school, you know, that's one thing, but not like seriously saying, okay, I'm going to go and totally ask for a litter box.
And pretend like it's some widespread thing and that schools are all into it. Eat a dirt clod and choke on it, whoever does that.
Hey, we started allowing snakes as comfort animals, and where does it stop?
Yeah, Scott? Where does it
where
end?
Where does it stop?
Where does it end indeed?
Yes.
All right. Anyway, that story happened.
We're never going to get to our utopian Star Trek society if we allow crap like this.
Damn straight. Damn straight. Well, I'm glad I got to take that detour. Let's take a break. when we come back, we're going to have a couple of pals with us. Steven Schleicher will be here at the top of the hour talking about all your favorite nerd stuff. And right after that, we got Dan the Tabletop Man for a monthly visit. We should have had him last month, but Scott forgot to put it on the schedule, and he forgot, and so we all forgot. Everyone forgot, but he'll be back.
Yeah,
and we're excited to have him back too. So I have a big question for him about drugs and Paramount Plus. That may sound weird.
I hope he's able to get to some tabletop, seeing as it's his middle name.
I know, right? Exactly. So anyway, we'll see how that all goes after this break. Brian Ibbett has a song he has to play. What is that song?
Yeah, big thanks to Thousand Island Records, who sent me this creamy little morsel. This is a band from Nuremberg, Germany. We haven't pulled an indie band from there, I don't think, ever. This is a band called Melonball. I think that means the same thing in German as it does in English. They have a brand new single called Sicker, which is off their upcoming debut album called Breathe. That one comes out at the end of March on Thousand Island Records, Lockjaw Records here in the U.S. If you like Bad Religion, FOD, Melonkollen, not on tour, man, I totally dig this. I'm going to give you a little bit of a warning, little heads up. There's an F-bomb in the chorus.
Sweet.
There's an F-bomb in the chorus.
Oh, man. All right.
That means a totally different thing in German than it does in English, though. So here you go. From the band Melonball from Nuremberg and their upcoming album, Breathe, here is Sicker.
So I am obviously Gen X, and my retirement plan is to pass away. So I'm not sure how many other Gen X people have that as their retirement goal, but I know that I will be working one day and fall over dead, and that's how it goes.
Can't be any geek off the street.
The Morning Stream. My God, it's a miracle. A quiet Frenchman.
All right, we've returned. Hey, who is that one more time?
Yeah, from Nuremberg, Germany. That is Melonball and a new single, Sicker, from their upcoming album, Breathe, which comes out at the end of March from Thousand Island Records, Lockjaw Records.
Very nice. Speaking of regulars, we always like to see you around. Just nice to see Tally in the chat today.
Yay! Welcome back, Tally.
Hi, Tally.
We missed you.
Yeah, we missed you. I know she's been busy.
And
stuff.
TV Zegon, by the way. Let's not let that go by either. Yes. Saw him earlier. I'm like, what? Oh, and XCAMR, who we haven't seen in the Tadpool in years.
What happened, man? Would you guys all get together and have a little memo and said, we're
did
all
you guys all get fired from your jobs and you're not able to be here live again?
No, that's great. I love seeing TV Zegon here as well. So that's great.
Yes.
And all you that are always here, if you disappeared, we'd feel the same about you. If BioCow suddenly didn't show up, we'd feel terrible. Yeah. If Claire wasn't here, we'd probably get over it. But everybody else, just kidding, Claire. I'm kidding. All right, I'm kidding. You're one of our favorites. Aww. All right, let's be done with that and move on here. Who's the guy? Oh, Steven, duh.
Who's the guy? Who's the guy that we talked to on... Isn't there a spoilers?
I don't know why I was having trouble there, but there it is.
Steven Schleicher.
Hey, look who it is. Steven Schleicher, all the way from MajorSpoilers.com and beautiful Hayes, Kansas. The lovely rolling hills flat zone of Hayes, Kansas.
The lovely rolling hills flat zone.
Steven, welcome back. How are you?
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hey, man.
Hello.
Hey. What's your life like right now? How are you doing overall? Doing good?
Man, we do not have the time.
Oh, really?
Whatever it is, he probably just
this
buried long boxes.
Pass.
Yeah, everything shall pass, right? That's how you have to look at life. Well, I'm glad you're here. That part is true, at least.
Yeah.
And the good news is you come bearing a little bit of good news if you were happy with the current state of all things Aquaman. I like Jason Momoa. Yeah. And there's also rumors he'll also be Lobo, but none of that's confirmed. Anyway, he's said he's staying, and he's talked to James Gunn, and he's got more to do as Aquaman.
Yeah, so I don't know if anybody saw the video. Did you guys watch the video that he posted on his Instagram or Twitter?
He's just like,
just got out of this meeting with James Gunn and what's his name? Sean. Oh, now I forgot what his
Sean
name is.
Penn. Sean Gunn.
Yeah,
Sean.
Yeah, the other guy.
The other.
Safran.
Oh, Safran. Yeah.
Safran.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, everything's good. I'm still here. I'm going to still be part of the DC universe. And as far as I'm concerned, I'll always be Aquaman. And he said, yeah, and there's other things that are coming. And he didn't really go too deep into it. So, yes, we can play up on the rumor of would he be a really good Lobo? Yes, he would be a really, really good Lobo in an upcoming Superman remake. But I kind of took this announcement as a kind of a confirmation that they're not going to just throw the next Aquaman movie in the trash and burn it and use it as a tax write-off.
Right. Right. Which is good. I think for fans, but also just I think he was inspired casting for that role. I think it's solid. There's nothing wrong with it. If you want to just keep going with him, that'd be great. It would be a little weird if they reboot this Justice League and the only one that's the same as him
is Momoa.
It'd be a little weird, but so I have questions about that. This also happened, this interview and his amazing sweater he decided to wear during that interview.
Oh, yeah.
Right here in Park City, Sundance is going on. And he did it up there in the snow hills. And that is exactly the kind of sweater you want to be wearing while you're in Park City, just to put that out there.
I want a sweater like that, but I don't think it would look as good on me as it does on him.
There's an adorable photo of him and some video, I guess, of him and Emilia Clarke having a little reunion there, hugging. And it's just cute because, you know, their movie hugging was a little different, if you know, or their TV hugging.
Another TV hugging.
It was not really the kind of hug you want the kids to witness, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway, moving on. It's been a while, guys. Game of Thrones Season 1. Go check it out. All right.
It has. Yeah, I do remember that.
I absolutely remember it. It was shocking.
Oh, of course, yes.
Horizontal hugging. Not even quite horizontal. More of a 90 degree.
I just remember a brother getting that goo poured on his head, and that's it. getting that molten gold. And,
yeah, it wasn't goo. Oh, no. It was gold.
It's a lot more than goo.
Yeah, I think it was hot gold is what it was. But anyway, so there's that. That's interesting. I mean, give us a prediction here, Steven. Do you think we're going to get more, like, actual more Aquaman? Do you think the logo or the Lobo thing is more likely?
I think the Lobo thing is definitely more likely than the Aquaman thing. I think his cryptic message that he was sending out was, hey, the Aquaman movie is not going to be thrown in the trash for tax purposes. But I definitely think the Lobo is more in line to what James Gunn has in mind.
Well, I really like Momoa a lot, and I would like to remind people that C, that just finished its third season, is excellent. And if you want to see a reunion of sorts of Stargate Atlantis, that's the place to do it, because he and three other actors all came from Atlantis, and they're all in the show C.
Is that the last season of C?
It is. Three seasons total. Yeah, yeah. That's how they started. That's how they planned it, I guess.
I just can't see making another season.
Yeah. And I loved every freaking minute of that show. It's absolutely wonderful. All right.
Is it going to get, is it closing out with a, like, everybody we're wrapping the story up?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, see, they planned three seasons. They did three seasons.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So it's ahead of, they knew enough ahead of time to be able to actually wrap things up and not leave it as, cliffhanger finale.
Definitely not hanging wondering what's going on, for sure, and definitely not a cancellation. Also, I heard Apple's doing a season two of what's the huge one, the huge sci-fi epic that got interrupted because of the pandemic and the last half of the season sucked, but it had such potential. What am I thinking of? It's the iRobot author, Foundation.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
Foundation was really good for like three episodes, and then you can see right where they had their problem, and it's great. If up till then, and then it got dumb, so maybe they'll fix it in season two. I don't know.
Let's hope so. Jeez.
We will see. All right, Steven, there's that. Also, Cobra Kai getting a sixth and final season. Speaking of final seasons, so that's happening. That makes sense, and they can wrap all that up.
Yeah, in fact, the creator said in a statement that, you know, we're glad that we're getting this sixth season. We get to do everything that we want to do to wrap up this Miyagi-verse thing, except bring back, what's her name? Did she ever come back? The next Karate Kid?
No.
Nope. What's her face?
Can't name her name all of a sudden.
Yeah, and certainly in the trailers, the teaser trailer they released does not even hint that she's in there. But that would be the way to wrap up the series, is to bring her in for at least one bit. Yeah.
Yes, Hilary Swank would be, that'd be really great, though, if she showed up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the show's, you know, that started out on YouTube as a YouTube original, and then YouTube was like, what are we doing? And Netflix picked it up, and it's run very successfully for, what, four seasons on Netflix. So to see this finally come to an end is good. And at least they know it's their last season, as opposed to, like you were saying, with the with C and everything else, is, you know, we did a season, then Netflix says 1 week after release, yeah, we're not coming back for another season.
Yeah, I like it when the thing has a lot. Yeah, I like it when they have an end in mind. You know,
yes.
And then they plan ahead for that. If you tell me a show's only going to be three seasons and I'm sad because it's not more, fine, but I'm also glad they have a plan.
Mm-hmm. That show is so surface level. They could end it, you know, they could steer into an ending with two episodes notice, like, oh, we're getting canceled after this next episode. All right, well, that's easy enough to do. What's his face? Daniel San and Johnny are friends now, and it all works out. Very good. Cool.
Has anybody seen that 90s show thing that landed this week?
I did watch that over the weekend.
Yeah.
Did you?
What'd you think?
It is everything that you think that it's going to be.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Because I don't think it's not going to be very good. Is it better than not very good?
It is exactly what you think it's going to be. Okay. I'll just say that. So if you watched if you watch the trailer for that 70s show and you're like, oh, this is just like, I'm sorry, you watched the trailer for 90s show and you said, this is just like the 70s show. Guess what? It's just like the 70s show.
Gotcha.
There is an international type student that's in this. There is a bonehead. There are two people that are attached to the lips all the time. There's definitely Donna and Eric's daughter is the protagonist in this, and she is totally Eric all the way. I mean, if you're looking to hit on that nostalgia factor, this hits on all the nostalgia factor.
Is there a scene where they updated for the 90s where the camera is sitting on a poker table and it spins around to all of them
multiple times,
many times,
instead of doing
meth, because all the kids are down in the basement.
It's still weed, and, right?
This is a total. Yeah, it's weed.
It's still weed. Okay,
spoiler. Right. But like the grandmother, what's her name?
Coke.
What's the mom's name in the
Kitty.
Comes down, she goes, oh, I found this box of games that your father and his friends used to play. You guys can all play this. And they open up a box and there's like a 20-year-old stash of weed in there. And so they're smoking it through the whole summer.
Oh my gosh. They're smoking the weed that they used to have. The horror. Wow.
And if you're wondering if all of the regulars from the 70s show who are still alive show up, everybody shows up at least once.
Kutcher does? Uncle Kutcher comes around? Okay.
Yes. There's actually a Kelso in the next generation of this. So, yes, Kelso and...
Except the one who's a douchebag who raped somebody.
Danny Masterson.
Yeah.
Danny Masterson is not back.
Yeah.
Tanya...
Tanya Roberts, yeah.
She's died. And then the older sister, I think, is also... dead in real life.
Dead.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think so. She's not. Those are the three people that you don't see.
That's a great question. If you wonder if someone's dead,
who died from that 70s show. But yeah, I guess I forgot about
that. You should do that every time someone dies. Go, dead.
Dead.
And if she's not, now we've talked about it on the show, so there you go.
Yeah, she'll die now. Before. She's dead now.
How's Red? I like Red.
Oh, he's great. Yeah. He is the only one that it feels... He and Kitty are the only two that feel like these two know what they're doing in this show.
Yeah. Okay. Because they're just grandparents now, and these kids, you know, they're all hanging at their house for whatever reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Eric wants to take his daughter to space camp for the summer, and she doesn't want to go, and she meets the next-door neighbor who she instantly has friendship with. And so she's like, can I just stay here for the summer? And they're like, sure. And the parents are like, no, or the grandparents are like, no. And then of course she does. And hilarity ensues.
Wow. Mark? Fantastic. I'll probably check it out, but I kind of have ambivalent feelings about that 70s show. I'm just not that into it. And
Donna and Fez are the two recurring that show up the most in the show.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, kid, good deal, 90s and 70s kids. Both your worlds just slapped into each other. And
let me know when Netflix has a Moonlighting revival that is, the children of Addison and Sybil Shepherd.
Yeah.
David and Maddie.
Yeah. And by the way, the kids from that 70s show would be, if this was called that 2020 show, they'd be in their mid to late 60s now. So if you go by that 70s show age bracket, you're Eddie, you're I can't think of his name. Anyway, the main guy,
Topher Grace,
his character would be like 68 right now. So
it's
think of that.
It's so weird that you would figure out, like you would think about the ages of the stars of a...
Well, yeah, it's the whole idea, right? They say, hey, we're in the 70s, now we're in the 90s. So my brain's like, all right, where would you be in the 2010s? Where would you be in the 2020s? Right. And then Red and Kitty be dead. They wouldn't be around no more. And never forget, Red's the guy who tried to kill RoboCop. Yeah, go ahead.
What is a show that you have not yet watched
that
everybody is saying, Scott, I can't believe you've not watched that show yet?
Besides shows.
Parasite.
Well, you're talking shows or movies? You want movies or shows?
WandaVision, did you watch WandaVision?
Yeah, I did.
He did watch. He's caught up all the way to She-Hulk.
I watched WandaVision as it aired. We didn't miss a beat.
You haven't watched Moon Knight or She-Hulk, right?
Oh, that's right. Neither of those.
And you've watched Loki all the way?
I've seen Loki all the way.
Loki all the way. My favorite Sinbad.
So whatever TV show is lowest on that list of shows that you're going to get to, Scott, you can put that 90 show after that.
Okay. All right. Because I do have a lot ahead of it, for sure. I've seen Arcane, everybody in the chat. Love Arcane.
And I forced him to watch Ms. Marvel as part of Couch Party.
Yeah,
so.
We watched that entire thing. I watched The Little Prince. Remember that years ago? I get made fun of because Nicole says, when are you going to watch it? Carter and I finally watched it. I'm not as behind as people say. They think
you
I
watched
am.
Ant-Man and the Wasp on I this did. Most recent couch party.
That's right.
Next will be Captain Marvel.
Yep, we're doing Captain Marvel. Speaking of that 90s show, doing some Captain Marvel. It'll be great. Anyway, well, Steven, as always, good stuff all around. What's going on in Major Spoilers this week that people should know about?
This week on the Major Spoilers podcast, we are taking a look at a manga comic that is the weirdest thing that I have ever encountered, but it's also educational. It's called Cells at Work, and it's all about what if we anthropomorphize your blood cells, your white cells, your T cells, all that stuff in your body, and they have big giant fights with viruses and plague monsters and stuff, and we do it in the most scientifically accurate yet also the most manga-esque way.
Wow.
It's insane, and we're looking at the first volume of that this week on the Major Spoilers podcast.
Are you reading forward or backwards? Because, you know, the manga.
The version that we have is it is forwards, but you have to read the panels right to left still.
Oh, okay. Man, that messes me up.
Yeah, it does. It takes a little bit to get into it, but.
No offense, manga fans.
No big deal.
Yeah,
no
it's all fine. It's all fine. You're a brilliant dude, and you can do what you need. It's Steven Schleicher, everybody. Majorspoilers.com. Major Spoilers on Twitter. Is there any advice you'd like to give us before we go?
Stay hydrated.
Oh, it was sing-song either way.
It was like he was a ghost, almost.
Yeah. Oh,
stay hydrated.
Dead? All right. Let's get Dan in.
Okay.
You know, like...
All right. Okay.
This is a cool dude. We like him. We're having him on. It's always a good time. You know, I like it. Although I have to play his thing. Oh, there it is.
Here's a tangent for you.
Be careful. May cause drowsiness.
Hey, it's our old pal Dan joining us like he was supposed to monthly, but then Scott forgot last month and then it got all left up. Hi, Dan. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
Greetings, programs. Oh, I've missed you guys so
much. We've missed you, too.
We have. It's been at least 2 months, and that's too long. We talk to you all the time off air, so it probably feels a little not that big a deal because we're always chatting about stuff.
It's all right. It, you know, these things happen. Plus, I've been traveling like crazy anyway, so it's luckily I get home on Sundays. So Mondays I'm usually around, and I don't go to work for a little while. So
is the boy in the thick of the hockey season, or what's going on there?
Yeah, well, we went to Grand Rapids the first weekend of January. I just flew back from Notre Dame. Thank God we got an earlier flight. So we got done at like 9 o'clock in the morning or 9:30 yesterday in South Bend. We drove our ass all the way over to Chicago and then hopped a plane. We got an earlier flight because a lot of people got stuck there because of kind of snow and ice last night. So then we got back yesterday afternoon. And then my wife and DJ, they fly out to Dallas on Thursday.
Oh, wow.
So it's
that's a lot. I had a friend growing up who used to work for Southwest, and they called O'Hare Airport. They called it O'Snare because you would get stuck there all the time because of snow. It was always some kind of weather thing getting you stuck. They called it.
Oh, it's scary when you're sitting in you pull back from the gate and you're waiting there, and it's like flurries. It's kind of cold. It's not like, it was in the 30s. It wasn't like in the 10s or anything like that. So, and that is Fahrenheit. For all you
interested. Oh, yeah. Take those space points lovers out there. Yeah.
So then all of a sudden they start spraying this goo all over the plane, and you're like, oh my God, they're de-icing the plane. I'm like, what's going on? It's kind of a little scary, although they do it like a million times a day.
Yeah.
It's still a little scary when you're sitting there at your window going, yeah, there's green and red crap going all over the plane. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we get home okay.
I think it's almost scarier that they do it so many times a day because if it becomes routine for them, then I start questioning whether they're really paying attention. You know what I mean?
Like whether they get so used to doing it that they're just like,
yeah, just like, yeah. Hey, did you see the game last night? And they miss my window. Right. You know, and I'm like, what if ice happens on my window? I don't want that.
So you kind of get a little less scared when you know, especially coming back from hockey, when you think, well, we're in Chicago and there's places like Regina and Quebec, all these places way to hell north in Canada that are people just flying around. No problem. So I'm like, yeah, well. We're
it's
down here in the U.S.
The first
so it's
city
okay.
name you come up with is Regina.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Regina. Like the first, I don't know why it's like the first Canadian city name I could think of.
I've always got Regina on the mind. Yeah,
that's right. I wish it was Regina. I'd feel better saying it if it was Regina.
That's right. It's probably a good song in there somewhere.
Somewhere.
Regina in my mind, my I'm mind. Going to her Regina.
Well, next time I'm in Regina, I'll think of you too. Let's move on. I have a thing for you, Dan. A question before we get into a tabletop recommendation, and this is it.
Yeah.
I'm watching Paramount Plus with Kim. We are. She wants to catch up and watch all of Star Trek Discovery, which we are doing. and we're just about to start season three. And after these different seasons of watching Star Trek on Paramount Plus, and I don't have whatever, maybe there's a premium tier above this where no commercials ever on anything. I don't know. But we're on whatever tier gives you commercials between stuff. And I'm not kidding when I say this. With the exception of one Ocean Spray commercial, every single break, let's say there's four or five in every episode of Discovery or whatever show you're watching on Paramount Plus, or when we watch Top Gun Maverick, the commercial they show before the movie and after the movie, same thing. They're all pharmaceutical things.
Sure.
So like Pernexa.
Oh,
ask was it your the one, doctor, prepare that whole thing.
Was it the one that starts out in black and white with a person experiencing the problem, and then while they're going over all of the side effects, it's full color and they're playing frisbee with the dog?
A little bit. Some of those. And some of them are like, the ones I like the most are the ones that say may cause death, but then they name five different lesser problems.
Like, right.
You don't acne, lead with death.
Like a sore knee, acne.
Yeah, but start, and also death. Start with those, then do death at the end. Starting with death, that makes me think death was the most common. Anyway, my question to you is, as a guy who is in that business and in that world as a pharmacist, a trained professional, what is it? Why are we so inundated? And why is it? Yeah. Is it just, do they think 80-year-olds are all sitting around watching Star Trek? Is it that targeted? I mean, obviously you don't know much about what they're doing for their ad network or their ad load over on Paramount, but the world of pharmaceutical ads seems on fire right now.
So it's a lot of different like biologics or these biosimilars or immunomodulators are coming out, and you'll see a lot of those where they're all used for psoriatic arthritis or psoriasis or MS and a lot of the immunologic things where your body's attacking itself, where things like Dupixent, you'll see that a lot out there, and even Cosentyx and a lot of these. And then also creams that you see for psoriasis and stuff. And it basically helps to stop your body from attacking itself. And the reason why you see a lot of these injectable ones is not, and I'm generalizing here, but a lot of times it's people like us where you get a lot of 30s to 60-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of these things are flaring. And also a lot of us have insurance. And they figure that, hey, if I go in and I got some psoriasis I've been dealing with, and we've been using all the regular, the regular creams and things like that, not using anything injectable, that I'm going to ask for, Cosentyx ask for your doctor for this. Or if I've got some asthma, atopic dermatitis, things like that, you can say, I saw this commercial for Dupixent. What's with that? And then the doctor may write some of those things. But you also get same things like Cologuard. You guys, I don't know if you guys have had to do this with Cologuard.
I don't even know what that is. It's scaring me, though, the name.
I've seen the commercial. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So Cologuard. So you guys probably went through the colonoscopy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, both of us.
All right.
Have,
so yeah. Yeah. So I'm only a little bit younger than you guys, but I'm not 50 yet. So they said, I asked my doctor when I went in last month, and I was like, I just figured, listen, due to colonoscopy, I want to make sure I'm not going to die. And he's like, no, you don't have any real risk factors, no family history. He's like, we're just going to give you this Cologuard. So what you do with Cologuard, now everybody, I'm going to hopefully nobody's eating right now.
Okay.
So basically,
I like where this is going.
They send you a box. And then in the box is this big plastic, and I say big, you're talking like 6-inch diameter, bowl, plastic bowl. And you got to poop in the bowl. You got to scrape it with this other thing and put it in a test tube, and then you got to cover it. You pour this other solution that keeps it, preserves it, and then you got to send it on back to them. So they're going to check for, any risk factors for colon cancer. Basically, a lot of times it's kind of what they used to do, the fecal occult, where it was just seeing if there's blood in your stool and stuff like that. But I guess they probably run some other tests. But what cracks me up about this is, even in all the literature, and even when you see these commercials, because you'll see a lot of these commercials, because they tell you, hey, it's easy. It comes to your house, and you send it back. And it truly is completely easy. But they tell you, like the first things they tell you, may have false positives, may have false negatives. Well, why the hell am I using this?
Maybe completely ineffective, but try it now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot of that in these ads. And you named two or three that I've heard, and they're really big on that psoriasis arthritic thing.
Oh, yeah. The psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis are kind of the biggest things, because basically that's autoimmune stuff where your body is just overloading your dermatomes and stuff are just overloading, and it's just either pain or just crappy looking skin. And these injectables, they work very, very well, but they are way expensive.
Yeah.
And you're talking multiple thousands per month. And a lot of times, that's kind of what I do all day long. is I sit here and look at prior authorizations for these type of drugs, and you have to have used a lot of other things. Your doctor's sending chart notes showing that you've used other things and that you should be using this drug. And then there's tier ones and tier twos. And then we have to, you know, you approve it. And then sometimes with the renewals, your doctor has to show evidence that it's actually working. You know, stuff like that. Where it's so that's a lot of interesting stuff, but it's there's big money. And also, you know, why use drug A, B, or C when they're basically kind of biosimilar? And if you're asking for drug A and your doctor's like, well, I'll use this, this, or this. And if you're asking for this, you're just going to be a little bit happier with your doctor.
Okay.
You know, and they're in it for the copays just as much as, you know, anybody else.
Sure. Oh, of course. They do all
are
right.
They, do they do that, you know, give you pharmaceutical B or C instead of A? Like if it's, don't take Dupixent if you're allergic to Dupixent. Oh, okay, well, then I'll take this alternative then.
That I don't know if
exactly.
I'm
going to get. Yeah, exactly. Like,
different name. Yeah.
I love it because they're always like, don't take Dupixent if you're allergic to Ixuzumab, which is basically the, you know, the generic, one of the, it's not the generic name of Dupixent. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it's.
Oh, but I love the name Ixuzumab.
I would do. And you know what? Yeah. I would believe you if you said it was real. So you're good.
Totally. Yes.
You're good.
So it's, and, it, and it's always that. And it's like, well, you know, they're not probably allergic because they probably haven't had that yet because you know, the doctor would know that sort of thing or would be in their chart. But yeah, it's a. It's a big money thing, and I laugh too because again I haven't completely cut the cord. So sometimes we'll be sitting around, you know, you'll have something on in the background, and like you said, every commercial break, there's at least one of these commercials for these things, and you just laugh. I mean, I can see the ones for like Claritin and Allegra and stuff like that because you know, season allergy
stuff,
Right. Yeah, and it's over the counter, and they still want to kind of make money, and it's something that somebody can go get themselves. You know, it's not like they don't have to ask your doctor for a Claritin. You just go to the store and buy it, and every little sale, you know, or every little commercial can help you go there. When you have a whole wall through of allergy things, you know, seeing a name that you recognize is big. And so
all of a sudden, for whatever reason, I remember that one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy the way the U.S. is. I mean, other countries maybe, but I feel like the U.S. is so tied to brand names. That people are so tied to brand names that there's still products out there that may say Zantac, but it's not actually ranitidine because that was taken off the market. But now they're using famotidine, which is actually Pepcid, but it's off patent. So they're releasing it as a new type of Zantac stomach instead of, you know, Zantac, you know, RA, whatever they used to call it. So things like that are crazy. So always read your labels. Boy, that was a huge tangent. Always read your labels to see what the active ingredient is. And if you have any questions, ask your pharmacist. They'd be happy to tell you any of those answers.
Okay,
right.
Final question before we get your recommendation. And
yeah, bud.
You're not going to be anyone who would decide this, obviously. And I don't think you're probably not going to know the answer. But why are these people in these commercials always hiking in Zion's National Park here in Utah?
And why are they always wearing the same colors as the logo for the medication?
Oh, yeah. So let me tell you this.
That's
so
a great point, too. That's a good one.
I actually, there's kind of like a, it was kind of an elective I took in pharmacy school, and it's the psychology of advertising for pharmaceuticals. And it was just like a 1 or 2 day thing, but every little thing, and anybody that does movies or TV, they'll tell you the exact same thing, like not even necessarily with pharmaceuticals, but anything that goes into production, there's psychology in everything. You know, it's like what they tell salesmen, never use the word no, even if you mean no.
Right.
Because you don't want to get the negative feelings. So like you said, with the commercials, they use the color, everybody's using the colors of what you would see on the box. Or maybe, you know, the loratadine box is always blue.
Only the person that it's helping, right? Like, you know, there's everybody playing soccer in the background, but then there's one girl who's apparently got psoriasis who's wearing red and yellow, which are the colors of Docentix or whatever it is that they're taking. Yeah.
Or the color of pain. Like everybody associates pain with red. Like,
sure.
You know,
red,
they're in pain now or the rash is red. And then when they're clear, they're wearing like a yellow or white shirt to show that everything's out of their system and stuff.
That's good too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh. My favorite is have you guys seen the Ozempic commercials?
I'm sure
you'll remember it because the theme is, Ozempic. Oh,
yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That damn 70s song, Magic by Pilot. And they just, I can't get that damn song out of my head now. Yeah.
Sorry, now everybody's going to have an earworm for the rest of the day.
Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, that's amazing advertising because you will never forget that. And people will go in and ask for Ozempic because Ozempic is used usually for type 2 diabetes. But nowadays, it's been like one of the wonder drugs for weight loss.
That one you inject right into your gut, isn't it?
Yeah, you can use your arm, you can use your gut. It's a GLP-1.
They had me do that when I went in for blood stuff. They had me do it for a week or something. Mm-hmm. I have never had.
It's really good.
Never had such horrible heartburn.
Oh, that's the diarrhea one, isn't it?
Diarrhea and the heartburn. Nothing but nonstop diarrhea and nonstop heartburn, like to the point of like, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and go, I'm about to hurl for no reason. I just got so much acid in my, it was awful. I hate it.
Yeah, because it messes with, you know, it's with the GI motility. It's not actually, a lot of people think that something like that is actually insulin, but it's not. It just helps with the different liver and your GI motility. So you're not as hungry, you feel a little bit more full, and then it helps to get your glycemic, your blood sugar level a little bit lower. And it does, honestly, it does really work. I don't want to tell anybody to ask for it, but
because it's crap.
No, it's great. It is great, but I would rather people, I'd rather people just go exercise and work on their diet.
Yeah, sure. Change their diet. Years. Yeah. Cause that's the problem I had is when I first took it, I didn't change my diet, right away. And that's where the clash happened. Like it wasn't so much the medication's fault. It's just that, well, I'm still trying to eat 1800 to 2000 calories a day. And this thing was like, no, you should probably do big 800 or else you're going to have the worst heartburn of your entire life. And that's how that thing went down.
And what annoys me is when I see, you know, because again, a lot of the stuff has to be authorized. So when I see like a 20-year-old who's a little overweight and the doctor's just throwing Ozempic at him, I'm like, come on. They're 20 now. Don't give them the habit of, anything I need to fix, I'm sure I could just get a pill or an injection for that.
Yeah.
That's a bad thing.
Yeah, because also by the time he's 50, he's not going to look like one of those hikers in Zions. He's going to look a lot different. So,
right.
Anyway.
Yeah. And that stuff, I mean, it just starts adding up to you. So anyway, let's talk about a board game.
Yeah, board game. Woo!
Before you start, you know how Scott said this will be the last question before you can talk about board games. I got one more for you.
One more.
But it is about board games. Did you back Simon's Marvel United multiverse?
So I don't know if you're aware of this. I may have a problem. So I've been trying to cut back on my spending on Kickstarter and games because I have a real problem with Kickstarter. My Frosthaven just came in. I'm like, all right, so maybe this will hold me off so I don't feel like – but I still end up backing things here and there, but I had to hold off. I do have what's funny about the board gaming community, and I don't know, Brian, I don't think you have like a huge gaming group or anything. Like the good thing about having a game group is that there's always somebody. Like if I was over there, I'd be like, I don't have to back this because I know Brian's backing this, and I can just play his copy.
I'll play his copy, right? Exactly. Yeah, I have a way more, I have a way bigger gaming closet than I do a gaming group of friends that come over and play these damn games.
Yeah. So I mean, when we get this, just tell the government or whoever the hell's in charge of this stuff, can we please have teleporters so I can play? You know, we can have game night with Scott and Brian.
Oh, that'd be so great.
That'd be so much fun. Are you kidding me?
For sure.
Because then I could just teach Scott rules.
Yeah, I don't need to read them. You can just tell me. Yeah, screw that reading business.
I just watched that dude on YouTube who's always smiling. I'm going to tell you how to play Marvel Remix. Mm. It's a game for four players.
Is it Rodney? Is it the Canadian guy?
I don't know.
He does watch it played. He's one of the more popular guys out there. He does a really good job.
Always smiling, like super friendly voice, mm-hmm. and he always flips the game box and then catches it. And
yes, that's Rodney. So right Rodney does exact... watch it played.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a great guy, and he does a good job with his. There's just something about the way he delivers, and it's nothing personal to Rodney, and I do this with other videos. If I watch a video that's more than 10 minutes with Rodney, I start nodding off because
totally.
He just has the...
I know. It's like I'm vegging or spacing out, and then all this is now you know basically how to, now you know the basic rules of the game. Blah blah blah. Like,
you're
oh,
like
crap,
really?
I'm
do I really?
Because I completely zoned out.
Yeah, that definitely happens.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of zoning out,
easy one that you both would love, and I know I've mentioned the base game of this in the past. And so what I'm going to do is next month when I come on, or in April or May or whenever Scott, brings me in, but you know, I'm just kidding. This is the next month when I'm gonna do the top five. Scott, did I put you to sleep?
No, I'm always awake for you, Dan. Never asleep for Dan. Dan is my waking, every waking moment I think of Dan, all the waking times. You're good.
So I'm gonna do my top five of last year next month. But I did want to mention one that, and it's gonna be a little bit different because, speaking of Steven Schleipker and major spoilers. The top five board games of 2022 just came out, I believe, last week or this week, where I give my top five games of the year. But I'm going to change it up a little bit for you guys. I'm going to, I'm going to tailor it more for our audience here and tailor it more for Scott and Brian. So I'm going to put some Scott picks and Brian picks in there.
Oh, nice.
To to make my top five next month.
Love
but I'm going to have an honorable mention that I did have as one of my top five of 2022. So go check out the top five on the top five on Major Spoilers Network, where I do the top five Express Board Games Edition. Sorry, plug there for Steven for you. And so this number five was Clank Catacombs. Now, Clank is a game. It's a deck building game. It's a dungeon crawler. They also have Clank in Space, which is more of obviously in space. It's a little more sci-fi themed. But Clank Catacombs is an amazing game. The base game, Clank, is a dungeon delver where you have a board out there and it's deck building. So, Scott, you would love it. It's deck building with cards and card based. So you're moving around the board, and the whole idea is that you're trying to get into the dungeon, get a treasure, and then leave before the dragon kills you. And because anytime you make noise, that's what they call clank. Clank is basically making noise in the dungeon. So anytime you make noise, eventually the dragon will wake up. It'll put some cubes into a bag, and you'll draw the bag out. Now, what's different? And then you know, as you take damage, you could die in the catacombs or actually above ground where you can still win. If you die in the catacombs, you can't win. But if you die above catacombs, or they don't call it died, it's like pass out. You know, you don't want to say
you don't want to say you died for a family game. Yeah, sure, sure.
But what Clank Catacombs changes up is that there's no board to it. You actually just have these kind of tiles that you're kind of making the board as you play the game. And since it's kind of all randomized, the game's going to be a little bit different every time. So it doesn't get very samey, and it's not really solvable as regular Clank could be. You know, when it's when you're playing it with a set board, but it's really great because there's a lot of cool interactions, and then you can still, you know, it's the same basic premise. You're going in, you're getting other treasures, you're getting some abilities, and every round you're able to add cards to your deck, so you're either thinning out your deck or fine tuning your deck. And then as you go in there, you're going to find a treasure, and then you're going to get the hell out, because after somebody gets a treasure, you're pulling more cubes out of the bag, so that the dragon's doing more and more damage. So there's also regular cubes in a bag, and then you'll put your own cubes in a bag. So you're just trying to not get as many of your own cubes in there. It's really, really fun. Only takes about it's one of these one-hour wonders. You know, maybe a little bit longer the first time you play it, just because to get the whole feel of the game. But it's such an easy game to play, an amazing game. Scott, you would absolutely love this. These are the kind of ones that I don't want to call them, for lack of a better term, for anybody that's kind of like a novice in gaming, it's like a Gloomhaven Light in a way, because you get that dungeon crawl experience, but it's not really a crazy campaign-y. There's not really as much of making your character. You're just going in there for that cool dungeon crawl experience very rules heavy.
It's like Baldur's Gate versus Diablo. You're playing Diablo for the action and the quickness and the whatever, but you're getting the dungeon crawl, you're getting the loot, you're doing all of that. But if you really want a slower, you know, more rules-based sort of thing, you go Baldur's Gate. I totally get
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I picked up the original Clank, so not Catacombs, but Clank at the end of last year. No, last year, based on your recommendation. So it's time to get the Gloomhaven group back together to play that one.
Have you played any of these? So Clank has a lot of great expansions.
No, I haven't even played the base. I've got it. I've taken the plastic off, and I might have even punched all the little cardboard chits out, but I have not.
So here's Clank. Something you'll absolutely love, Brian, and it's one of my favorite things. There's an app. So it's made by Direwolf Digital. There's an app for it that you can play it solo. I mean, you can play it solo anyway, but the app makes it perfect for solo. You absolutely love it.
Don't worry about Tina and trying to beg her to play a
game. I played this a million times, and you select you'll select like which base game you have, if you have any expansions or if it's client categories. You select it, and it basically you go from there, and it tells you kind of what happens, or what to do with it. It's so user friendly. It's amazing.
I'm in.
Yeah, you're in. You're always in. Are you kidding? You're in. You're like a hot fad, Brian. You're in.
I'm in. I'm in. Yeah, exactly.
You're the hot new fad.
I'm out.
Clank.
I'm out, Jerry. I'm in. I'm out.
That's Clank Catacombs is that recommendation. Very nice.
Excellent.
I got to go approve some Cosentyx and some Dupixent at work.
Yeah, go get that done and then warn them that they might have blowouts and heartburn. Can you do that when you do it?
What's the one that's got the bulldog that Zemblows? Well, no, there was like a little bulldog who sings
I don't remember that.
Oh my God! You know, I've seen so many of these darn commercials
I can't remember. It's like a bulldog that sings the name of the drug.
Oh,
yeah. All I have in my head right now is the stupid Mucinex commercials with the, yes, the big pile of mucus that's yelling.
Oh, yeah. Everyone likes an animated mucus ball. It's the best.
I'm still singing that damn
magic.
There was one. I'll admit last night there was one commercial in between all of this that was Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. I can't think of her real name. What's her real name? Anyway.
Her real name is...
Old actress, been around forever.
Different-eyed woman lady.
That's her. Playing...
Jane Seymour.
Playing and pushing a mobile game that I guarantee, what? With all my soul, with all of who I am inside, I guarantee she's never played even once.
Oh, for sure. But Jane, that's crazy.
Yeah.
One of the last people I'd expect to push a mobile game is Jane.
I've seen some of those ads.
Anymore. It was dumb.
I've seen some of those ads, and it even says in a corner, what's the service that you can pay them to like call your friend?
Cameo.
Yo, so some of these ads, it even says Cameo in the corner. So you know they've paid these celebrities to do these ads.
Oh, they just did them like a Cameo?
Yes. Lord. Yeah, there are a bunch of those. Like Jenny McCarthy does one for some stupid slot game where it's like, oh my God, you guys. And she's, you know, the camera she's holding in her hand and it's like jiggling all around. Like, oh my God, you guys, you have to play this new slot game and you can actually win money. And she's like, you know.
That's fine, except I don't mind doing, like Cameo doesn't bother me, but when they do that, freaking F off. You never played that game, Jane Seymour. And I'm never going to watch Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman again. Dan, it's always a pleasure. Good to have you back. We'll see you next month with more. It's Dan Patrice, everybody.
Geek Jock Dan on Twitter, and we're putting out a new Geek All Stars real soon with the top, you know, with the top 11 of 2022. We'll be recording real soon. Thanks a lot, boys.
I keep wanting to add blog. I don't know why I want to put blog at the end.
Well, that was my old thing. I changed it to Geek Jock Dan because blog made me sound like way more of a boomer than I really am.
Yeah. Hey, old man, how's your blog? All right. Have a good one, and we'll see you at the next stomach injection. Bye now. All right. I really really disliked it because it was not only that, Brian, but you had to take this stuff and inject it yourself. So it wasn't have it done. I had to sit there and push it into my belly and then hit the thing and it went ching, like almost like a Star Trek one, you know, it goes shh into here, whatever. It freaking hurt. And then I was sick. I hated it. All right, moving on. They don't tell you that in the commercials, or maybe they do. Yeah. And I just got, you know, distracted by beautiful, colorful moments.
Right. It's all exactly. Zions. That's how it works. Pops and Reclines asked if it was the Apoquel. No, it's like, dang it. It was a bulldog that sings. And I could have sworn it began with an O. It was like, Ozempla, Ozempla, Ozempla. And I could only get that dang song, but it wasn't Ozempla, but it was something like that.
Sounds like a Klingon in their holy song. And
basically, that's Klingons when they sing sound like what you think a bulldog would sound like.
It's perfect.
Basically what it is.
Yes. Yeah, it's perfect. Yes. Well done, everybody. That was awesome to have him on. We are out of here. Before we get out of here, though, a quick reminder that patreon.com/TMS is a thing, and if you would like to join us, you'd be welcome to. You will get all kinds of benefits for doing so, as I talk about each and every day. You get couch parties on the weekend, art in the mail, no commercials ever, pre-show content every day. Why not sign up now? If not now, when? And if not us, who?
Who?
All right? So go check it out, patreon.com/TMS. Let's get out of here. Let's go with a song, though, before we go. What do we have?
Okay. Well, we got a request that's going out to... There it is. Will Sheckel. Will says, Dear Scott and Brian... Last Thursday, my best friend John tragically lost his father, Al, to a heart attack at 53. God, that's so young.
Yeah.
Many longtime listeners may remember John as Brian's former TDS representative. Totally remember that. And also asked me to be the best man at his wedding over TMS. Like, did it during a request.
Yeah.
We are shocked and devastated at Al's passing, especially John and his brother. His brother Joey, who were very close to their father and would usually spend time camping and riding bike trails in Wisconsin. I know a song won't make things better for my friend, but I'm just hoping it provides a temporary distraction for him during these very difficult times. Brian, I've attached the obituary in case you feel that there's anything else that you think would be good to mention. There's honestly too many good things about Al and the man he was to fit in this one request. Love the show though, Will. Oh man, dude, that's
rough,
sucks.
Man.
And pass along my condolences to John and his family, because that's so young to lose your father. Jeez.
Yeah. It's literally me and Brian's age, too, which is not, you know, it's not lost on us. So yeah. That's tragic. That's awful.
Well, John is a huge fan of the White Stripes, and so let's play this as hopefully a little bit of a distraction for John right now. Here is a cover. This, I'm surprised I haven't played this before because this is such a great cover. This is a cover of My Doorbell by KT Tunstall. She recorded this, a couple of years ago, 2021, I believe. I don't have a date on this, but I'm pretty sure that's when it was. Here is KT Tunstall and My Doorbell.
That'll do it for today. We'll see you guys tomorrow on a brand new episode of TMS.
My doorbell, when you gonna ring it? When you gonna ring it? I've been thinking about my doorbell, when you gonna ring it? When you gonna ring it? I've been thinking about my doorbell, when you gonna ring it? When you gonna ring it? I've been thinking about my doorbell. Oh well, with me chipping the kiss, is not the man of my life, I know. And I've been going to Mr. and Mrs. I respect the art of the show. Take back what you said, little girl, and while you're at it, take yourself back too. I'll tell you to sit and to wait. What you gonna do? What you gonna do about it? I've been thinking about my doorbell. When you gonna ring it? When you gonna ring it? I've been thinking about my doorbell. When you gonna ring it? When you gonna ring it? I've been thinking about my doorbell. When you gonna ring it? When you gonna ring it? I've been thinking about my doorbell. Don't seem to come around. Point your finger and make a sound. Oh, make a sound and I'll make you feel right. Right at home. Nobody got no way with it, baby, but how come so easy to you? You know it's like me times I can be careless, but your words seem so obtuse. But then again, I know you feel guilty, and I know you want me back again. I don't need any of your pity, I got plenty of my own friends. Care about me now, I've been thinking about my doorbell. When they gonna ring it, when they gonna ring it? I've been thinking about my doorbell. When they gonna ring it, when they gonna ring it? I've been thinking about my doorbell. When they gonna ring it? When they gonna ring it? I've been thinking about my doorbell. Don't seem to come around. Push the finger and make sound. Don't seem to come around. Maybe they'll knock them down.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.